Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM, good morning. So we have had Taryn DeVere on the show before, and she always has a really interesting story to tell and sometimes even earrings to sell. But this time, though, I wanted to talk to Taryn because she has come out as genderqueer, and I was interested, well, just to find out more about that. How are you, Taryn? Are you well?
I'm great, thank you.
You look amazing, as always.
Thank you.
So let's start with the basics. What does genderqueer mean to you?
So I think most people would call it non-binary.
Okay.
But I don't particularly like the term non-binary because I think you're kind of defining yourself by what you're not rather than defining yourself by what you are. So that's why I kind of like the idea of the word genderqueer. There's a lot of people in the community who call themselves genderqueer for similar reasons to me. So that's essentially what it means is non-binary.
Okay. Do you think non-binary will soon be a term of the past?
I don't know. It's an interesting one. I don't know, but I saw somebody on Twitter told me yesterday that from Ireland, and they said that they saw genderqueer on a form for the first time as an option.
Wow.
I was like, yay!
How will life change for you now, or will it change at all?
I didn't think initially that it would change when I was kind of thinking about all of this. I was thinking, oh, it's probably not really going to make that big a difference on my life. And then the first time that I went out in public after I'd really sort of realized this for myself and sort of felt that it was a truth, I went grocery shopping by myself and I hadn't told anyone and nobody knew. I wasn't wearing like a t-shirt that said, hey, I just came out as genderqueer or anything. But when I walked around doing my shopping, I felt like a huge weight had lifted off my shoulders. I felt like I didn't have to pretend anymore, and it felt such a the feeling of relief was so tremendous that it made me really realize what a true thing this is for me. So that was wonderfully affirming for me. It made me really realize, because I'd spent a long time interrogating my motives over this.
What kind of motives were you going through? What kind of thought process were you going through when you were doing that?
I guess my struggles with the term woman as it applies to me, I was wondering, were some of those feelings coming from, say, the gender critical area that I feel have slightly appropriated the word woman and sort of say that they're speaking for women and say that women need protection and all that kind of stuff. And that made me feel like really like just not comfortable with around the word woman, I suppose. So I was wanting to interrogate that. It wasn't about that. It wasn't just that I didn't want to associate with the word woman because certain, actually quite small groups of women have kind of taken the word and used it in ways that are uncomfortable for me. I really did interrogate and realize that it's much more than that, and it's been going on my whole life when I look back.
Why do you think it's taken so long to get to this place then?
I think the truthful answer for that is because I didn't know I was allowed. I think, first of all, because I was just ignorant. I didn't really know non-binary people existed or what you were allowed to be non-binary for most of my life. I think I discovered about non-binary identities about a decade ago. And then it's, again, because I slightly didn't feel like I was allowed because I was like, oh, you can't say you're part of a community unless you like 100% know that you're a part of a community. Do you know what I mean? And I was sort of looking for validation about like, well, is there some kind of someone who will give me the sticker and tell me I'm allowed to say
this? Did you get a sticker? Did you find that validation somewhere, or was there a moment, or was it just really just saying out loud to yourself?
It was a lot of research. I listened to a lot of podcasts. I read a lot of books and articles of non-binary people, genderqueer people. And I realized that there's loads of different ways to be genderqueer, loads of different ways to be non-binary, loads of different ways to do gender. And I saw myself in a lot of those stories, and it really resonated for me. And I just thought, okay, I'm going
to
give myself permission. I'm going to do this. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Yeah.
What about pronouns? Are they important to you personally?
No, not at all. And it's a bit of a funny one for me in terms of, like, as you know, my daughter is, one of my children is trans and came out quite young at age of 5. And I found that at the time sort of a bit baffling because my lack of care around gender and pronouns and stuff is great. Like, I just don't care. Like, if somebody called me he, okay, whatever, I don't care. I feel so unaligned with a particular gender that it just wouldn't bother me. So it took me a while to, I suppose, develop that understanding that other people have a very different comprehension of how they experience gender, and my daughter was one of those people.
Yeah, so, I mean, that journey was a part of you getting to where you are today, you know, going through your daughter's journey.
I think undoubtedly. As you know, I sort of came out to everybody in my life via a national newspaper. And so, but the two people who I did tell, aside from my own children, was two of my best friends, one of whom is a trans woman and one of whom is a mother of a trans child. And this was in a group chat and a group Zoom call. And the mother of the trans child, she told me that I was the third parent of a trans child she knows who's come out as non-binary in recent years. And so I think, yes, when you're immersed in that world and you're reading all the literature and you're listening to all these voices and you are it's discovering all this stuff about gender and how it works in society, of course you're going to start asking yourself those questions at some point, I guess.
How does it feel then to live as your true self?
It feels liberating. It actually feels really liberating. I just feel like joyful exuberance. And even today when I was getting dressed, I was thinking, okay, maybe I'll draw on a little moustache today. I like the idea of just playing with my appearance, which obviously I've always done.
You're known for that. I mean, the last time you were here, you were blown up on socials for dressing up as a random household product. But was that kind of OTT costume thing, was that part of your realization, do you think?
Well, I've been doing the OTT costume thing for like a long, long time. So I think that's me exploring femininity and kind of playing with femininity, because I've never really tried to look sexy. You know, I'm not interested in looking beautiful or sexy. I'm interested in looking fun and colorful and silly. And that's why I have such a sort of clowny aesthetic. Like a genderqueer clown.
You look amazing. I mean, you're wearing a phenomenal headpiece in the studio today.
Bit clown-like though.
Well, I wonder, it's a very pretty clown-like headpiece. You have pink eyebrows. Yeah. You're in a green dress. I mean, you're really out there with how you portray yourself, and it's really lovely to see you being so comfortable doing that. Yeah. And that must be a lot of fun. A lot of people don't have the courage to do that.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd say so. What would you advise someone listening now who, you know, just your story resonates with them? I mean, what resources? You say you did a lot of research and you listened to a lot of podcasts. Mm-hmm. The resources are there, right?
Well, I mean, actually, when I came to Dublin a couple of weeks ago and I walked around the bookstores looking for books on being non-binary, I had a real struggle.
Okay.
I found it really hard to find books. I think there's sort of 2 or 3 books that I found, and I went around 5, I think, different bookstores in the city centre. So in terms of non-binary identities, it can be difficult to find those types of resources. Obviously, online you would find stuff. And a lot of the podcasts and things I listened to were American, which it doesn't really resonate as much for me, obviously. But there's a good BBC one. I think it's like My Non-Binary Life or something like that it's called. There's a good BBC Sounds podcast that I listened to. There's a couple of great non-binary people on Instagram, Ben Peachy and Alok. Oh, I've forgotten the surname. But anyway, there's a few good people on Instagram that are Travis Alabanza is another one. Incredible. Mm-hmm. He's just written an amazing book called None of the Above. But in terms of if you're Irish or you're living in Ireland and you're looking for support and help, then Tenny belong to
a great organisation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the places to go depending on your age. And of course, like, safety is key here, because I did have a lot of people contact me after that article came out saying that they know that they're non-binary, but they don't feel safe to come out because they don't think that their friends and family are going to accept them. And I just find that really heartbreaking that there's still people in that situation out there in Ireland today.
And that's one good thing about social media. You can find people like yourself or who are going through the same thing and find your tribe, so to speak, and have the support that way. If you're not getting it at home, there is support out there and great resources. You mentioned Belong To. I know that organisation well. They're very, very good. Yeah. Taryn, like I said, it's always a really interesting chat with you. And thanks for being so open about, you know, something so, so personal. I think it'll help a lot of people today, and especially people who will identify with a lot with what you're saying. I wish you the very best in your new life and every success in years to come. Next time you come, you better bring me
a green headpiece.
Yes, a green headpiece. It has to be green. It's my favourite colour. Thanks, Taryn. We'll be right back after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.